Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Redmen TV. It is the final word show. Liverpool to do 2-2 with Shrewsbury in the FA Cup fourth round into a replay of sorts. We'll discuss that later on in the show. But first, let me introduce my cast of characters. I've got Mr. Steehaw sitting in the number two hot seat.
In the Payjack seat. I'm very much the Nico Williams to Chris's Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Is that just because you're younger?
Better looking. No, that's a lie. On both counts.
Okay.
I am younger than him.
You are younger than him. That's what I mean. I was doing something that was definitive.
That is true. I'm probably not better looking than Chris.
Yeah. I don't know.
Let the viewers decide. please don't.
Somebody who definitely is better looking than both. Yeah, it's Ben Kelly on the other couch.
Great ego boost for the Monday morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not a high bar.
And I reckon Jack Gill probably is as well, to be fair.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah. I think the attractiveness of the opposition couch over there is
if he's the Nico Williams to the Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's 21 years old, what does that make us?
Any one of the players that was put out against Villa that we'll never ever remember again. Was there one called Reichs? You know what I mean? Yeah, go ahead, you're one of them. Right, yes, anyway, yeah, the show's brought to you in association with theredmentv.com. Our subscription website, where you can get more and great additional content, including great in-depth and exclusive interviews with Liverpool managers, players, past, present and future as well, and all extra content surrounding everything around Liverpool Football Club. Perfect time to be a subscriber, and it's free for the first month as well, at redmentv.com. Anyway, the game was poo.
Yeah, it was. I think that's fair. It started all right. It started like exactly how we thought it would do. You know, a young mix of Liverpool sides, you know, guys come back from injury, the young lads playing, dominating the ball. It was like 85% possession at one point, and then we scored a very good goal, and everything's going about as well as you think. You know, Shrewsbury look like they've got a clear plan, which is try and beat the offside trap, and mm-hmm. they weren't doing it. They kept getting flagged off all the time, and then you got in that one time, didn't you? Adrian makes a save, and it kind of fell from that point onwards. It was all a little bit crap. To be honest, I think a lot of the praise goes to them, mm-hmm. Shrewsbury, because they didn't just throw a towel in at 1-0 or even at 2-0. So credit to them. We looked very rusty. The injured lads coming back, I think in hindsight, it's wonderful saying this now, in hindsight, playing all three of them, so the two centre-halves and Fabinho, was probably a miscalculation from Klopp, but because all three of them looked rusty, and they were rusty down the middle of the pitch.
Yeah.
And that proved to be an issue. Again, in hindsight, he might have done something different. But like that's kind of where we are. It might sound crazy to say this, but it might have been better to play Chiavea as the six in the Fabinho role and play another midfielder. But Klopp has to give these. He needs them back fit.
I wonder whether the availability of Lallana in the end made a difference to that. You know,
The reason I thought we'd play 4-2-3-1 was because I thought having Matip and Lovren just coming back from injury with Neco Williams and Larucci, who aren't defensive fullbacks, might cause problems because, you know, they're not fresh, they're going to be rusty. It was sloppy at times, and it was just one of those games where you were hoping that they would grow into the game, but actually I think for Lovren and Matip it got worse as it went on.
And Fabinho, I think, as well.
Yeah. I think Fabinho was sloppy in the first half, but definitely Matip and Lovren got worse as the game went on. I think when Matip went off as well, he was limping when he walked around the stadium. So Mark caused a bit of a problem for us.
It was a real, yeah, if he sat, that's a shame. And again, that's the problem with it. That's my only issue with the starting 11, because I didn't really have an issue with it when you see it come out, you think, okay. My one, Lallana's the interesting point, Ben, for me, because he'd have absolutely started this game.
He'd have captained the team, wouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's weird to talk about a game where you're putting three senior lads in a, you know, that defensive triangle in front of the goalkeeper. Should be more than better. They've all got the most appearances. You know what I mean? They're all really, really good, solid professionals. Some of them better than that. And Fabinho, arguably the best number six in the world. But when you're playing 40, if you're playing 42, you had to play 42-1 because Kiribati is not really playing. Yeah. He's not an offensive. He's not a box to box midfielder. Fabinho needs to get the minutes under his belt. But if we'd had Lallana, I'd have actually been happier with the midfield with Kiribati, Lallana, and Jones than necessarily with Fabinho. But Klopp's used this game the way that he's used it. He's used it to get minutes into the legs, and he's paid the price.
Steve's right. It's looking back in hindsight, yeah. And it's so much easier to say these things. Lallana wasn't available, but I think every single one of us wouldn't have minded seeing going into the game. Probably wanted Fabinho to start. I mean, we had the conversation on Friday, I think, when we were doing the build up about, you know, maybe the pitch was going to have the overriding, you know, be a contributing factor to the fact that, you know, whether or not he was going to play. You know, the pitch looks good. He decided he wanted to play, and whether or not that was down to the fact that Lallana was unavailable, I don't know. But, you know, going into the game, I certainly looked at the team and thought, oh, you know, I was actually feeling quite positive about Fabinho playing, because I want, you know, as good as Jordan Henderson's been, you know, you want Fabinho back up and firing again. And I wonder whether, you know, it's becoming a bit of a, we're discovering a bit of a trait with Fabinho where it does take a bit of time for him to get back up to speed. You know, if you think about initially how long it took for him to get into the side into the first place, you know, this is the second sort of stint now where we are seeing a bit of rustiness from him. It's going to take, if he's just that type of player, then fine. And these are the type of games that are probably going to be beneficial to him, you know, when we come into, you know, more crucial periods of the season. We've got the Atletico tie coming up. We've got, you know, a run where we can really kill off the league. In terms of getting in minutes and getting him ready for those games, yeah. These are the games now where we're going to have to.
I think we're going to find it's the overriding story of this, and we didn't realise it at the time because you can't. But that's Klopp's attitude toward the FA Cup is we're kind of seeing it a little bit with that. You know, he's used it as a spare game because the Premier League team, the A team, yeah. Is all encompassing, and it is a shame really because we're not going to. We can sit here and, like, you know, I don't like to delve too much into negatives, you know, but there's also, I think it's fair to talk about the poor performances and what have you. We'll see the benefit of this in Fabinho's performance when he starts against Atletico and he's A-grade Fabinho. We'll be able to go, well, it was because he got those minutes under his belt, but it's hard to detach yourself from the here and now when you look at it, a really, really, really disappointing.
Yeah, he didn't play well, and that it's one of those things. It's all hindsight, because before the game, if you'd have ranked 1 to 11, who's going to let you down? Fabinho would have been near the bottom because you'd have just nailed him on. Yeah. He's playing shoes, but he's one of the best midfielders in the world. He's been absolutely brilliant since pretty much, like you mentioned, since he got into the side, give or take. He'll be all right. And he just had a stinker. Yeah. He kept passing it to them. He kept giving it away. It didn't look comfortable. I don't think he likes playing 4-2-3-1. I think he much prefers...
Which is mad, because that was how we got him in the team.
I think he looks far... He's much more comfortable.
Or he needs a more energetic other alongside him. Look at the Wolves game. I thought he was just as bad when he came on. And again... We're all allowed to say Fabinho had a bad game without saying that he's world class, but he's off the pace, and he was off the pace against Wolves, but he had Jordan Henderson, who was superhuman alongside him. Whereas, and to be fair to Kiribati, who had a good game, set up the goal, you know, it's another solid performance from him for us. There's a reason this is a lad who only comes in for cup games for us, and no one else seemingly wants to take a punt on him.
Yeah, and again, you can only analyse what you've just watched. I thought the two centre-halves got bullied. I thought the centre midfielder was poor. And the centre-forward even, you know, in Divock Origo, left wing or whatever, they're your four senior players, and they were the worst four players. They were all rubbish. And then if you know, the better players were your young lads. So your Jones looked good at times, and I thought Williams had a good game. The goalie was very, very good. So it's been a role reversal, and whether it's a, you know, I watched it on TV, and Martin Keown was saying Liverpool got complacent, and maybe they did. I didn't really feel that. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it was just a bit crap. Yeah. And it's hard to justify that. I'm not a big fan of changing the 4-2-3-1. I've said this in the past. I think if you, especially when you make lots of changes to your team, I think your constant should be your formation. That's your back. That's your go-to. Is that these lads are all used to training 4-3-3. Even the young lads, as you know, that's what they're used to as well, Jack. So to then flip it again, it's just another thing for the manager. Having said that, Paul, that team was 2-0 up after 50 minutes against Shrewsbury away. You know, and so as much as you might want to say this, this and that, from that point on, they should never draw.
Yeah.
So it's one of those in that it's one of the very few times this season where we've got to sit here and say, you know what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years were a bit crap.
Yeah.
And we at the end, you know, we could have lost that game. They were coming on strong. They had that corner at the end, yeah. And I thought it was just set up for us to lose and, you know, another great cup upset. So Klopp might have preferred that, I don't know. But in the end, I think you've got to credit Shrewsbury. They more than deserve that draw. They deserve the replay and the money that they're going to get from it. And there's a lot of Liverpool players there who need to go and have a think, you know what? What did I do wrong? Because we shouldn't be, the Championship of Europe shouldn't be drawn.
The platform for these cup successes, though, Jack, has been the senior players. Yeah. All the young lads have drawn all the plaudits. So everyone banging Curtis Jones sticking a worldie in against Everton, Harvey Elliott having solid games along the way. You know, some of the standout performers in the obviously not in the Carabao Cup game because it was not, but it was nothing but children. Jürgen Klopp delivering a text message of encouragement at half time. The MK Dons game is James Milner is the real solid performer in that game. Curtis Jones wins man of the match, but James Milner guides him through that game. And we've seen Adam Lallana in the Arsenal game, Joe Gomez in those games. In this one, we turn to the senior lads and Steve's right. They've let the young lads down. I'm not going to sit here. And because I've seen some people say, I thought Curtis Jones was really good.
Yeah.
I said, well, he did this and did this. I'm not arsed. He's 18 years old. Any bad things he does are inconsequential to me. I can focus on the good things. But you need the senior lads around to bolster what the young lads are doing.
I completely agree. I think we had to go to the 4-2-3-1 yesterday because I think it was working around playing Fabinho. I think he couldn't drop Chiarella after how well he played against Everton. And as I said, with the fullbacks being so attacking, I think we had to play 4-2-3-1. But I think the thing is with the transition of us under Jurgen Klopp, what's really improved us and made us into this world-class team is that spine. And that's why it's important. Like we played Gomez and Lallana in the spine against Everton. It worked really well. You know, the spine should have been perfect yesterday. Matip, Lovren, Fabinho. It should have been more than enough to beat Shrewsbury, but it just didn't work. And for me, it's like Gomez, young lad, commanded that back four against Everton. Lallana rarely plays. He's fighting for his place in the side. I wonder if Fabinho just didn't want it. He knows it was just playing him for minutes just to get him into the flow of it again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I wonder if he has the same sort of opinion on the FA Cup as Klopp. And
do you think
didn't want
maybe, and I was thinking this in hindsight, is that the high line worked for a while, but then it caused us a few issues. And I don't know about playing a high line with Matip and Lovren because with Gomez and or Van Dijk, the pace is there. And to be fair, you know, the fullbacks are quick, but they're not as good on the cover as our two.
They're rarely in line.
Yeah. So, I felt even when they were getting flagged offside for it, oh yeah, good line. In the back of your mind, you're thinking they're going to get one.
Lovren and Matip were toiling at times. You know, when they were getting turned around, they were fighting for their lives to keep in it. Like you're right, maybe. But the problem is for me, Dejan Lovren, Ben. I think funny Chris mentioned to me. I don't know if he did it on any shows. He said, "Is that the first time we've seen the old Dejan Lovren since Van Dijk was bought in, basically?" And that's what you used to get from Dejan Lovren. You know, he's the captain, and I think sometimes Dejan Lovren's a much better defender for just being told to be a defender. I think when he's tasked with being more than that, that's when you get Dejan Lovren that everyone hates. And it's almost certain that he will get an opportunity in the first team between now and the end of the season. And he'll probably have a really good game. He'll probably score a really important header or do something good because he's a good defender. He's a good player. But equally, if he goes on and if he moves on in the summer,
I'm
just bored of watching Dejan Lovren play for Liverpool, because for as he's fine, and you can get 10 out of 10 performances out of him. But, and again, I'll caveat it with all the caveats. He's rusty. He's not played. We've got to give him the same understanding as we're going to give Fabinho and Matip, etc., etc. But rustiness. He's 29 years old. He's been playing centre back at the highest level for a long time now. There's just silly decisions that he makes in that game.
Well, I mean, he sells himself completely for the second goal, doesn't he? Completely. It's awful.
Both of them.
And to be honest, I mean, I think you know that you can pretty much substitute Lovren there for Matip for me in majority of what you said in the context of this game. I don't think, you know, Matip gives away a horrendous ball at 2-0 that they pretty much nearly go through and score. And it was actually at that point I was thinking, God, we're trying to let them score here. That was just before the penalty. Yeah. The penalty was given. But both of them were no good. And I think again, it goes back to what you were saying. So I think the decision to play both of them on the build-up show, I had Gomez in my team. And I just think just a bit of familiarity in the back four to change the whole back five, I think, cost us a little bit. I know that we've got Southampton at the weekend and, you know, potentially, we've now got a replay coming up and we got the winter break. For me, I think having Gomez in there instead of, probably Matip, actually. I think I'd have probably put Lovren in alongside Gomez. Personally, I just think that that's a better... I think that would have suited us better.
Gomez has played lots. Again, it's all hindsight, isn't it?
It's all hindsight.
It's funny, but you mentioned there, but it was old Lovren. It was actually old Matip as well.
Yeah.
Old Matip, who we used... So many of us go, he's a good player, but my word, you can bully your Matip.
Yeah.
And then for a long time, that stopped. And people put it down to being next to Virgil, and maybe it was, I don't know. But even when... In different games, Matip didn't get bullied anymore. He was strong. You know, those one-on-one battles that Matip were winning when he was in a good vein of form, that was nothing to do with Van Dijk. That's just him winning his battles. And yet it was the goal, he gets done. Just absolutely thrown away like nothing by some, you know, like, I'll be honest, I don't know the guy who he was, but obviously he's not as good as the defenders Matip's been keeping quiet for them, or the attackers Matip's been keeping quiet. So I think both of them, it was almost revert to type 3 seasons ago, Matip, and 3 seasons ago, Lovren or whatever. And given the fact that the guy in front of them is meant to be protecting them, then plays badly, you can see why we have issues.
It's a typical one of these performances. I've said this a couple of places. I've seen this game played out so many times before.
Hold them away.
Because you need your senior players to be at it. You need perfection. You don't need your best players. You just need the lads, your senior players who are on the pitch to be absolutely on it. And then that means that your kids can shine or whatever. What happens is if they're not, and whether that's, in this instance, I think it's down to fitness and form, not complacency. Because I've seen it before where we've had these games where you're dropping in like Andre Voronin's, and you're dropping in lads who know they're not going to be playing for the club next season, and they know they're not going to get a game between now and the end of the season. So it's like, you get a bit of a fuck you attitude of like, oh, right, so this is my game, is it? Whereas which is a bit, I don't think we've had in this particularly. I just think it's a combination of, the senior lads not being quite on it. Someone who was on it, actually, I thought, as mentioned a little bit earlier, Curtis Jones, I'm sure there'll be people, because this is the internet, this is how we talk about football, who will be keen to point out anything that he did wrong. Not asked, I think the way that he conducted himself, and I think when you watch, particularly watch the highlights backstage, his fingerprints are over the good stuff that we do.
Yeah, he had a mixed game, I think that's fair to say, but the best moments Liverpool had, most of them, Curtis was involved in some way or the other. You know, it's a very good goal, he takes the goal well, good run and stuff. A few nice passes. He, when Liverpool were ticking and when we were confident on the front foot, he was involved. His issue was when it got a little bit scrappy at times, and again, he's an 18-year-old kid, so that can be... He was a bit loose with the ball at times, but in the role he's playing, in the 4-2-3-1, he's actually got a bit of licence to do that. He's got licence to try stuff, because in theory, the four behind him should tidy up any mistakes. So he's got on the edge of the box, he gave it away a few times, didn't he? But that's where you want to... If you're going to give the ball away, that's kind of where you do it. Again, I don't think he was particularly helped again. He had Origi, who I thought was poor. Mm-hmm. Minamino was pretty much anonymous. Like he was in and out the game a little bit as well.
He had some neat and tidy moments, didn't he, Minamino? I mean, the build-up actually for Curtis Jones' goal is really smart play. But you're right, the ball's not sticking. There's no fluency, I think, between
I think it's hard for your number 10 which Curtis essentially was, wasn't he, in that 4-2-3-1 pretty much. It's hard for him to do much when everything, like, there was nothing going on in front of him. It was difficult for him. But yeah, like, if you're looking at, like, players to praise, it's hard. I think you can find the goalie. Mm-hmm. Then you can find Jones. Maybe Nico Williams to an extent.
Chiavea as well.
Chiavea had a good game, actually.
In the first half, I thought.
The first half, especially. And then other than that, like, I thought the left-back really struggled. I thought, yeah. You know, obviously he gives the penalty, we'll come to later and stuff. It was just like one of those where at 2-0 when they scored that own goal, I was thinking, we probably don't deserve this, but this is kind of what you should, this is how we should go. This is what we do. And the plucky underdogs, they were spirited and matched.
We were always better in second halves of games, and we were attacking our end, and when we scored the second goal, in some regards, it did us no favours, because it meant, I think, and maybe that's where a completion does creep in, you think, okay, well, that should be enough now. And, you know, the senior team goes 2-0.
Job done.
You know, got our defence, we'll sort this out. Yeah. And then we might be able to hit on the counter, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas those opportunities never arose. Fucking nothing happened in that second half for us at all. You've got Divock Origi having one good shot from distance, which, you know, you don't want to necessarily encourage, because when you're taking pot shots on the edge of the air, it's an absence of ideas, not an idea. But it's good, but ultimately the keeper saves it. He picks it up, he boots it down the other end, and they score off it. We didn't kick on at all in that second half. Let's do it, because you've alluded to it, Steve, but it's not a pen.
No.
It's outside the box. No. So Lerucci he's caught a couple of times, which I think, look, he's an attacking fullback. There's times when he's pressing into their midfield. We saw it in the derby. He's wild. Like, it's dead exciting when it's going really well, but he's nowhere near trained enough to be a left back for a Liverpool team.
I don't think he'll be a left back in the future at all. I think once we have a perfect understudy for Andrew Robertson that sort of like Nico Williams is, I think that'd be the case for our under-23s. Either plays as a nine in the middle or out left wing. So it's one of them. I can't see it. The only man that seems to be playing him left back is Jurgen Klopp. For me, it's not a penalty, but it's a free kick and a red card. So either way, we kind of got lucky because playing with 10 men against the League One side, mm-hmm. I think is actually probably worse, especially the way we were playing. We were very flat.
Yeah.
So for me, I think it could have gone either way.
It's mad, isn't it? No VAR keeps him on the pitch.
Yeah.
Because obviously this double jeopardy rule means if you're going for the ball, but if it's outside the box as a free kick, he probably does get a red card, doesn't he? So it was a strange one.
Unless they want to follow the example set by FIFA referees in Qatar, where he just wants to give a free kick to us on the edge of our box instead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give a drop ball, didn't he?
give a drop ball for nothing. But no, I think another way you can kind of caveat the game is that, you know, even if we do go down to 10 men there, they have a free kick. Okay, maybe the free kick goes in, but the game turns on the penalty, doesn't it?
True. Yeah.
So, you know, the penalty's given, suddenly it's 2-1.
They're lads who jumping on the pitch after scoring the penalty, after scoring a goal, and it shows you what it meant. You're right, it gave them everything they needed.
Even if you go down to 10 men, what, there's 20 minutes to go at that point. You know, let's assume the free kick doesn't go in. You're still 2-0. You can kind of, you know, there's other options then you've got on the bench. He's got Trent on the bench you can bring up.
You
know what I mean? There's other ways of cap, but suddenly it's 2-1. And then, you know, you get the second goal that drops through and the centre-backs sell themselves and it's 2-2. The whole game has changed on a bad refereeing decision, and then people moan about VAR. And I understand that VAR hasn't been doing it for the Premier League, but then you go, and people are going, well, Liverpool are getting all the luck from VAR. No, we're getting the right decisions.
The ref was very unsure. I think it was the linesman that told him it was inside the box.
Yeah, the ref had no idea.
The way the ref paused...
It was a delay, wasn't it? Yeah.
And he knew it was a foul.
Given a penalty unless... He's been told by someone it was in the area. So I think the linesman was the man that's gone, that is in the box. But for me, it's one of them where I think there were warning signs up to that point anyway. I think we rode our luck for the majority of the second half and parts of the first half in a way defensively.
I'm not sure about Lerucci. Well, I'm not digging a kid out here because he is a kid. Mm. And he plays left wing. And then we stick him at left back. Probably shows that Liverpool somewhere down the line they need to have a little thing called left back, whether it's a young lad or a backup or signing someone. But it's funny watching him because he's absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
Like against Everton, he comes on and he gets done a few times, but the next one he's taking people on by our corner flag.
And he's winning the ball at the other corner flag from across.
It's It's bizarre. Like, it's fascinating to watch him. Yeah. It's like someone's let like a Jack Russell out.
Yeah.
And it's just it's doing some really funny boss stuff, and then it'll just shit itself. It's really fun to watch him, but ultimately it kind of leaves you in a bit of a mess at times. And
should we actually give Dejan Lovren a little bit of sympathy as a result of the Lerucci thing?
Well, I don't think for the individual error such as the second goal is absolute suicide.
You know the worst we got the second one is he could just foul him. Once he gets absolutely done, I think a good centre half there just absolutely pancakes the fella and probably you'll get a yellow for that, you'll get red for that. But it's that bad a mistake. He misses the ball and then doesn't even foul the fella. The lad, they were talking about one on the TV, the lad who comes on and scores the goals and that. We made him look like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, super sub.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a lad who doesn't get a game for Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
And he took the goal very, very well. But, you know, they're two international centre-halves. Both have started Champions League finals for Liverpool. And then that happens. You can't legislate for that.
There's no way that the lads who are on the pitch there don't get absolutely fucking bollocked by the manager over all that. Because the fact that Salah's not meant to be on the pitch there. And Firmino's not meant to be on the pitch there. And Chamberlain probably.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, that maybe just to keep him ticking over whatever. But he wants Bobby and Salah. No. Because let's be honest, he probably brings Bobby on a bit earlier because he needed him. We were slightly more dangerous for having him on the pitch, but yeah, Klopp would have, because that's the point, is that for as much as we can sit here and we can make, we could have done a whole show saying here's the reasons why that's not gone our way and gone into how long it's been this many weeks since Fabinho's played, you know, consistent football and Matip and Lovren and all those kind of things.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
They're a mid-table League One outfit, and you know, the pitch wasn't up to standards. I'm sure those floodlights are not. I'm sure it was just a bunch of lads with torches up in the top corner, shining down, just phone lights. It was lit like a Coldplay gig when they started to do Fix You. You know what I mean? That's how bad. You know, there's not. You know, but these are professional level footballers who should have had more than enough to see that game
and
out.
As much credit as you give Shrewsbury, and I think again they do deserve it. Liverpool are very much the architects of their own downfall. Yeah. Like, they kept doing just stupid things like for no reason. Big, just giving the ball away at the back, like you mentioned, Matip's mistake earlier could have scored from that. We get caught out. The obviously Lovren and Matip get done for the goal, and even after 2-0, I thought right, okay, Liverpool will regroup, and they kind of did. They had a little spell where they had the ball. But then it gets to the final third, then it would just break down.
But you're then in magic of the cup hero territory, and you've got that one where the ball falls to Curtis Jones, and he's trying to be that, and he's sliding in, and you've got the lad, the defender, throwing his body on the line,
and blocking it. And stuff, yeah.
You know, that's where they're at. It was panic stations, but it was all then about them just packing the box with as many men as they possibly could. And you're right, we let that situation exist. Yeah. We developed it to that situation. That's when you need someone to stick it in. Salah missing, you know, Salah missing headers, then you're not gonna win the match ultimately.
It's you mentioned before about the subs. Actually, I found it weird that if he was prepared to use them, he probably should have been prepared to use them 10 minutes earlier.
Yeah,
because we were rubbish.
Well, that's what I mean. It wasn't that they weren't planned subs. I don't think, in the same way. You know how we've seen Lallana, Chamberlain swapping hands, swapping shirts at 60 minutes because that's pre-planned. You're right, because if the aim is to just go and kill Shrewsbury off, then Salah and Firmino come on with 20 minutes to go.
Well, just even when I was looking at the game, when I was looking at the bench, I was thinking he needs to bring one of them on. It isn't ideal because obviously they want the rest and stuff, and I understand that. I actually thought he should be Firmino. I was thinking, he's not going to run around that much in 20 minutes. Listen, he might get a knock and a kick, and that can happen, and that's the way it is, but the ball just wasn't sticking, and there was no, you mentioned the pack box or whatever, or there was no craft around the edge of the box. There was nothing there, whether that's a knock on the strikers, it probably is, isn't it, in fairness? But
they're on the pitch because Klopp didn't want a replay.
Yeah.
It's the only reason they're on the pitch.
And either way, anybody score.
Yeah, that's true.
And I agree, but then my thinking was, even at 2-1, you could tell it wasn't working. I think if you bring one of them on at 2-1, you might be, you might not even get the third, but you might kill the game a little bit more. But it's all hindsight.
It's a calculated risk though, and we've taken these throughout the season, and we've gotten away with some of them. It's not playing Fabinho away at Villa in the league, and playing Lallana in the six, and skin of our teeth, we come away with 3 points.
Both derbies, he's done it in both.
The derby so far this season, we've taken a few of these, and this was very much that. And the fact is, it was undone by our own stupid. And look again, the heart and endeavour of Shrewsbury. I don't want to sit here and be like this fucking elite.
The lad in midfield was good for them as well. Is it Lauren, I think his name was?
Yeah. He won man of the match.
Yeah. I thought he played well, and he actually bossed the midfield, which is, again, an indictment on Liverpool, with all due respect to the lad. He's a League Two player or whatever. So, again, what I would say from Shrewsbury's point of view is that at 2-0, they didn't just fold. Yeah. Everton folded at 1-0 in the third round. As soon as Curtis Jones' goal went in, Everton players, they just didn't want to be there no more. The fans started getting off and they just had nothing to do with it. At 2-0, when that lad scores that, it's an absolute shocker. He's had a nightmare there, hasn't he? It would be easy for them to just jib it off. And maybe Liverpool jibbed it off. Maybe that second goal almost said to give Shrewsbury the license of, let's
nothing to lose. Yeah.
Exactly. Like a boxer who's down on points, let's just go swinging.
Yeah.
And maybe it was a little bit of that as well, but I do think as bad as we were, I do think that they created pressure on a Liverpool side that I haven't seen since. It reminded me of the Skirtle Lovren days under Klopp, where no scoreline was safe. Yeah. You could be 3-0 up and you just weren't confident. Even at 2-0, I think, I don't know if you agree, you were in the ground, obviously. I don't know if you felt like that.
They were creating chances. Yeah. They were getting in. They were getting behind, and we looked. Like, it was mad because we weren't causing them any problems. We weren't testing their goalkeeper. We weren't penetrating. We weren't creating chances. And yet we were completely vulnerable to the counter-attack because it felt like we overcommitted to every single attack. Yeah, it was a very weird one.
For me, I think the game was crying out for a sub just before they scored. I think against Everton, the game went sort of flat. And we brought Oxlade-Chamberlain on, it changed the game, and we got rewarded with a goal for it because actually Ox was the one making things happen, getting in the right positions. I think in this game, we almost needed something like that, someone to come off the bench and just change things up a bit. And then when they scored, they got the boost that we got when we went ahead against Everton.
It's just one of them, is the gulf in levels between these two teams. There's just no excuse. No. There's no excuses for it, because I'm going to say, if we had Lallana, if Keita had a week of training and all these kind of things, but it's like, we were literally 2-0 up in the game. The game should have been done. It should have been an exercise in putting it to bed, and
whether it's just how we've been going along this season, I pretty much convinced myself maybe it's a reality check for us all that I was like, well, this 2-0 now, we don't concede more than one in a game. It just doesn't happen.
This is the big encouragement that I would urge people who are losing their heads, and there will be, because it's the internet, the people to take from this, is that what the cup games are, they're a bit of a free hit to learn lessons, and there's no lessons being learned in the Premier League at the moment, because it's just a processing, rinse, repeat, get through it, don't lose, win, or it's just win every single game. you need kick up, you need kicks up the arse. We need kicks up the arse the way we actually need this winter break coming. There's a few things that this team needs, and having an opportunity to go to bollock the players and show them mistakes that they're making and all this kind of stuff actually could be, as far as motivational tools go, that's the one to spin it, to spin a positive from it is probably literally that.
But I think also as well, someone like a Harvey Elliott, for example, we haven't really mentioned before because he did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
He really struggled. It's another learning curve for the likes of him. You know what I mean? Like he's been riding the crest of a wave ever since he arrived. You know, he's walked in, he's played well in Prince. Even, you know, we go to Villa and get smashed the under-23s, do, and he's the best player.
Yeah.
And even he comes out of that with credit. And yesterday's probably the first time he'll have left the Liverpool game where people are like, that was a bit naff.
And what,
yeah. Exactly, but he's a
kid. He's a 16-year-old
exactly,
boy.
And he's a kid, so you'd expect it. And it's all less. And the good thing with Liverpool this year is actually, I disagree slightly, and I do think they've had the moments where they've had the kick up the arse.
But we've had them in the Champions League. We've had the Napoli games to do that, is what I'm saying, is that we've been able to maintain the league form and we've kind of used the cup. The cups have been a little bit of our learning experience.
Even the games, like, for example, Salzburg, I imagine Klopp bollocked them. We won 4-3, but I bet he did. Or Villa, we were rubbish, but we win. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best thing, is that we've learned our lessons and we still won.
Yeah.
So it's easier to do it in this game. It's just a nuisance.
And it's caveated once again, to use that word, by the fact that we drew this game. It does feel like we lost. And it feels like they lost because I didn't want to replay. And
look,
and as it turns out, neither did the manager. Let's talk about it, because ultimately this is the stuff that everyone's talking about in the fallout from this, Ben. Klopp has asked. I tried to track down the press conference from this because there was none, because it was like a
pre-season
game.
It was stood outside the tunnel, wasn't it, basically?
Yeah, and he got asked. He was asked by, I think it's Neil Jones who asked the question, and then it's followed up by James Pearce in amid people saying, can you just say nice things about Shrewsbury, please, Jürgen? He basically said that, you know, Liverpool, it was a pre-arranged, if they got to a replay, Liverpool senior players would not be involved. Jürgen Klopp will not be involved. They've all got a holiday booked.
I can understand what
I'm so conflicted with it.
I can understand the point he's trying to make about the FA and the scheduling, and I can understand the point he's trying to make by not sending the senior players. I can, but I understand why Jurgen Klopp has to sit out of that game.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? You know, if you're going to play all the under kids who play at Villa, why not give them the opportunity to be put through? You know, they're going to Anfield. They're going to be in front of a home crowd. You know, be coached by Klopp on the day. Why is he removing himself from that situation? I likened it. I was chatting to my housemate last night. I kind of likened it to, like, if I was to fail one of my exams and then go, well, I don't want to sit the reset because it's in the summer and that's my break. For me, you've created more work for yourself because we've not won the game.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether people agree with me or not. And to be honest, that, you know, sometimes Klopp watches this stuff, so I'm really sorry, Jürgen.
I don't like the fact that
for me, you're Liverpool manager. It's, you know what I mean?
Go on, Jack. Where'd you sit on it?
The thing for me is, I think this is clearly Klopp making a stand. You know, the FA have said to him, it's a winter break, respect it, don't organise any friendlies. So he's saying, well, it's ridiculous that you're putting an FA Cup replay in there. I'm not managing it. The players aren't playing it. I think the chance for the youngsters is amazing. Mm-hmm. And when Bobby Duncan left in the summer and all the things Cy Frewby said about the club and stuff, we've been brilliant this season with how we've treated our academy, how we've treated our youngsters, everything like that. And it's another perfect chance for them. But
it's the FA Cup.
Yeah, that's the thing.
There's one thing for us to and we've done it. We've gone around the houses on it, and we've said, look, none of us is a big fan of the League Cup. Bear in mind, Liverpool, you know, it's Liverpool's cup. We've won it so many times. I've had some great memories. My first, you know, the first ever cup final I ever went to on my own back was a League Cup final, etc., etc. I've had some great times with that. There's a difference between the FA Cup and the League Cup. And if we want to win, and I want to win the treble. That's my issue with it. But Klopp's left himself in this situation for better or for worse. That he has to back this decision because he wants the winter break. He's been desperate for the winter break. He understands the importance of it. I think it's hypocritical of him.
The club were made aware that this was a possibility at the beginning of the season. So it's not. This isn't a shock to him. It's not like they've got off the pitch and they've gone, what? When's the replay? They've known that this is a possibility since August. So I understand around the plan of the winter break, but You know what I mean?
If you want, is it okay? So you're saying if we wanted a win to break, then you just got to win that game or lose it?
Yeah.
I suppose the difference is, like, from a sports science point of view, I imagine everything's been geared to the fact that they're not going to be there, which I understand. So everything, you know, they've been playing players and, you know, everything they've done, the periodisation and stuff, will have been taken into account that the lads get 2 weeks off there to recover or to rest or to train, whatever. I understand that. I'm conflicted in the fact that I don't see why the lads who have been injured can't still play. So
Milner, Fabinho,
if they're fit Shaqiri. Enough, like a Shaqiri, yeah. if they're fit enough to, if they've had, they've kind of had their break because they've been injured.
Yeah.
I get what the Klopp thing. I think his point is Neil Critchie knows these lads more than I do. Some of his team. Yeah. Again, I understand it. It's essentially what it is, Paul. I can tell you, it's just a protest. Yeah. Because what happens is in this country, it's very, very odd in that we've got two organisations that run the football. They've got the Premier League and the FA, and they don't communicate, they don't talk to each other. If that's your winter break, that is the winter break, but it's the Premier League's winter break. It's not the FA's winter break. So they're two different organisations, and they've gone, right, game there. And Liverpool have gone, absolutely not, because we're having our 2 weeks off or whatever, and all our lads are going away. And so I get it.
I get the players going away, but there's been conversations about Klopp disrespecting the cup and all that, and all the top teams do it, all the top teams rotate, but for me, for Klopp in particular, I'm disappointed for him to completely go and shun that himself
completely. Do you not think though that it's more the first point, and that he doesn't know these kids, and Neil Critchley does? Maybe that's all he is.
Maybe
it's hard.
Why is it? There's benefits to him being around. So why can't he just have Neil Critchley around on the date? Why can't he be part of the coaching staff on the date?
But I don't know. Yeah, you know,
because Jürgen's got a boat in Ibiza already booked.
Yeah.
Deposits down.
And that's, but it's all these things. But it's mental fatigue and you know.
Yeah, he needs a break. He probably feels he needs a break.
But again, and people will scoff at this because we've never had this break before. But if we want what Klopp knows is that football will fill every available moment it's given.
Yeah.
And somehow, they finally got their heads around creating a slight break just to give the players a little bit back. And there's always going to be people there who go, well, they paid loads of money. I'm not a sports scientist, but people are. And people know that people are physically only capable of so much. And Klopp's made a big deal about that, you know, there's going to be a Club World Championship after every fucking season. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, there's too much football. The African Cup of Nations being moved back to the mid-season, all this kind of stuff. It's going to be a World Cup to fit in somewhere in a couple of years' time.
The Euros this summer.
Yeah. You can't go, if you accede to this, then you're basically saying we didn't really need the winter break. Is his thing. Yeah. And the fundamental problem with it is that you can't fuck off Premier League games and you can't fuck off Champions League games. And people might say, well, why? It's money.
Yeah.
The FA Cup is the weakest of the competitions, and so same as the Carabao Cup. What it boils down to is you earn loads less money, they're less valuable to Liverpool, and I'm sorry that's the way it is. And I'm not saying I agree with that. I quite like the FA Cup.
Yeah. I'm annoyed with it.
Something's got to give, and unfortunately, what's going to give is the competitions that have got the least power and the least money, and the ones that have the least impact on the day to day run of the football club. And I don't have to agree with that. I'm pretty sure
FSG. I imagine they must be targets that get set for the manager. There has to be. I bet you they don't even can talk the domestic cups. I bet you everything is Premier League and Champions League driven. It might be like, we expect you to be qualified for the Champions League, get out the group, and we expect you to be in a title race by X. I think that would be the logic. I don't think they care about it. Mm-hmm. My issue is this Liverpool team is so good, and I think it's one of the best teams we've seen. I am keen for Liverpool because I think the league is wrapped up. Again, touch wood, hopefully nothing bad happens. I think we had the scope to win the FA Cup as well. Mm-hmm. I think the squad is more than good enough. And that's why I'm conflicted. I get Klopp's point. He is protesting. It's essentially a strike. I'm all for that because the way I've been brought up and stuff is that you can't support the workers. Mm-hmm. The difference in the situation is like
a
multi-millionaire fellas. It's one extra game that you could still have a bit of a break after the game. You could easily fly out.
Well,
I thought
the game was going to be the weekend, the 8th and 9th. You could end up with the Tuesday night, the 4th. And then you've then got 10 days off. For me, I think it's just...
I think it's a very hard PR situation for Liverpool. I think this might be one of those situations. Jurgen Klopp has managed the PR situation really well. And I think he's now built himself up that he's using this as to take a stance. And I don't know, because ultimately how people feel about this is going to depend on how TalkSport covered it, and how the Sun covered it, and how the Daily Star covered it, and how the mainstream media decide. Because if they decide to make him... To because the problem is the FA Cup is the FA Cup. Oh, the FA Cup. It's like, and the magic of the goal. And the FA Cup is such an evocative, emotive competition. And it is the best domestic cup competition on the planet, by the way. You know, no other league their domestic cups are nothing like as good as the FA Cup. You know, the fact that you can start a Sunday league team within like three seasons, you can be in the prelims, you can technically win it. You know, there's a beautiful thing about the FA Cup, which is what makes it very hard. And that's why I think Jurgen Klopp has entered himself into a really difficult situation where he's decided to use this to take a stance. In terms of the welfare of footballers, no, I don't think the mainstream media and your football traditionalists are ever going to understand or want to understand his stance on this. So I think we might have to batten down the hatches on this one.
This break was brought in part to help England in tournaments, apparently, from what I've read. I saw on The Athletic, I think he tweeted saying, like, the FA brought this gap in to help England in the tournaments, and now they're putting games on in that. You know, it's no coincidence that, you know, England's four best strikers are all injured at the minute because they all played too much footy. It's not... Your bank balance doesn't affect your physiology of your body. You cannot... Is it a limit to what you can do? So I get it. Like, Harry Kane is on 150 grand a week. It doesn't stop his hamstring going when he plays six games in, like, 12 days or whatever it was. Yep. Six games in, was it 18 days or something mad it was. So I understand it. It's just that I disagree with Jurgen on the fact that I think you could send a lot of the first team away. But I think you could have players who, if they're fit, who haven't played for the last...
He's made a very definitive stance on this, you're right. Because you're dead right. For me, there's no reason why...
Why does Adrian need to have a rest?
Adrian, Milner, Matip, Lovren.
Genuine question, do you think he wants to go through?
Yeah, I don't think he cares.
I don't think he cares. I think if he cared... And look, again, we all come down to this because we thought this about the Wolves game in the Cup last season where Keanu Hoover ends up coming off the bench to play in that game. And we also said, well, where are all the senior lads? He prioritises the Premier League and he prioritises the Champions League. And this competition is a bonus if we manage to get through in it. Because as much as we played against Everton. Look at the team that we put out last night. Part of it's trust, part of it him trusting the lads that he's got out there to go and do the job for him. And that's what it boils down to. Those lads have fucked him. The lads that he's put on the pitch have fucked Klopp. And he will step up and he will burden this because it's his decision to make. But I don't think I think he would be happy to win it, but it's not a priority.
I thought it was very, very clever, the fact that he put out there, we were told that we can't schedule games in this break. You know, we weren't allowed to fly to Dubai and play a friendly.
Yeah.
I think in the Spanish winter break, Real Madrid did it a lot, didn't they? They went off and played games. You know, we were told it's a winter break and you are not allowed. Don't schedule games, don't schedule friendlies. And he's gone, fine. We'll all jet off to wherever we go. He isn't even doing a warm weather camp, is he? It's a proper holiday that they're having.
Because they don't get that, to be fair, from the players. You know, you think about Christmas and all that, you know, they don't get they've got families, you know, at the end of the day. They don't have proper time to spend with them all.
10 years' time. When this is an established part of the football calendar, everyone else will think the same and everyone else will be outraged when football tries to get played in this winter break. But at the moment, it's a new thing. Most people don't even know that it is. So all Klopp's doing is fucking off.
And it's a German thing, isn't it? He's got a different mentality.
And you've got this, you know, people taking umbrage with Klopp and Guardiola because, you know, when they say we should sack off replays, well, tell Shrewsbury. Yeah. The replays are getting sacked off because they're going to be made up. They poured onto the pitch and they were right. One of the biggest moments in that club's history was taking the European and World champions, Premier League champions elect, etc. You know, 2-2 to a replay. They treated that game like they just won the cup, and you try to tell them they're not going to go and get that moment at Anfield now. Let's be honest, if it goes to penalties and they win that game, which they would actually, with the momentum of that game, they could well have gone.
Right, you're saying, no, there's no replay on the fifth round, is that right?
Yeah.
Which is, again, it's weird. And also, I think it's one of those where I was thinking about it. If Liverpool go through, if it wasn't for the Club World Cup, sorry, that we've just had, we wouldn't be playing West Ham this week. Mm. And maybe you can rearrange the friendly, the replay to be this week.
Yeah.
But the fact that Liverpool were told he had to go to Qatar, and then they had to jib off another cup to go to Qatar, it's all piled up into this big old mess. Yeah. And it's what happens when there is too many people at the top who don't get on, who don't talk.
It's like, also a problem with because the moment it looks like elitism, poor old Liverpool, oh, you want to go and do all this, blah, blah, blah. If an English team won the Champions League every year, there would be an English team in the Club World Cup in that situation every year. And people would be able to think, and you know, you'd have Chelsea fans would understand it more, and Spurs fans would understand it more, and United fans would, and it would be more of a thing. Because at the moment, there's this, everyone hates Liverpool because Liverpool are ruining football and ruining the league and all that. And it's just another example of Liverpool being unbearable and being knobheads and being self, you know, kind of like loving themselves at the you know, and not being asked about it. Is it the forefront of it? And he's going to get absolutely slaughtered for it, and we're going to have to deal with whatever the fallout of this is.
On the talk of the replay is that obviously people are you're in the Auto Cup scheme, I imagine, with your season ticket, mm-hmm. and you guys, yeah, as well, yous are. There's a chance that they might just charge like 50 quid or something without you knowing, and you've got no choice now because, yeah, and then all of a sudden you're going to be paying 50 quid to watch the reserves.
Well, this is a big issue because twofold, and I saw a lot of people saying, so you're making it £5 a ticket. Well, hang on, what about Shrewsbury's
Gate receipts. Yeah. That's a whole thing about keeping the replays to begin with.
Yeah, but then the flip side of that is you might get a full house of 40,000, 50,000 people paying a fiver. There's no way that Anfield will. As much as Liverpool fans are brilliant, yeah, and we determine the game, it would be hard to justify.
It's very rare Anfield isn't full, but I imagine that if it's because full,
look, we've just been through a mad period of Christmas. We've had extra games. People have flown to Qatar. People are going, there's the Atleti tie. There's stuff going on. And then all of a sudden you're going to go, by the way, lads, here's another 50 quid. Listen, a lot of people might pay, and it might be pretty, I don't know, but I think it would be, you could even pay a fiver, say, listen, everyone, it's a fiver, and just give Shrewsbury some money or something. I don't know, just say to them, like, have 100% of it. We're not bothered, you know what I mean? Yeah.
It's a difficult situation.
It's really tough.
But then, you know, again, I'm pretty sure, but the price I probably had to pay as well, we paid full price for Villa away in the league cup. But even though, I don't even know if that was probably only 20 quid or 30 quid.
That was set by them. That was set. That.
But even so, we're going to point still remains, isn't it? You know, that's it was an example of whoever's at fault. We got fleeced to play.
And that's the thing,
you know, you should be paying a quid or something to watch those lads. The lads that we put out on the pitch is not worth. You know, you can basically buy a women's season ticket for the same price that we paid for a full match ticket to watch a bunch of children play for Liverpool. Something needs to be done. Is the point?
The thing for me is, I genuinely think though that as long as the likes of Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott are still allowed to be in that squad, I think we'll beat Shrewsbury. I really do. I think the young lads will be more up for it than my point was yesterday. Them first teamers. I'm not criticising them really because they're very good players. But yesterday they let the youngsters down. Yeah. And I think if you put a whole young team out at Anfield against Shrewsbury, I mean, it was Shrewsbury's cup final yesterday as well. They were playing against players like Fabinho.
I think there's a big lesson that might be on the horizon here is that, you know, we're gonna have to find out, aren't we? We're gonna have to find out whether a Liverpool young side can handle this. Like, but it's gonna be interesting to see what the levels truly are. But yeah, I'm disappointed because, as I say, I wanted the treble, and that's not to say Liverpool can't win the treble. But I was watching the Shrewsbury game, thinking Everton gave us the notion that we could probably win the FA Cup with a B team, and I don't think you can, you know, because you know if that's all a League One side are capable of doing against the Liverpool side like that, it's only going to take a Championship team in the next round, or a Premier League team just as likely to be drawn, and you're going to have to go full strength. And that's going to test the desire of this manager and how far he wants to go.
I think we, as fans, want to win that cup more than. It's obvious. I just don't think he cares. Mm. And whether that's right or wrong, I think everyone's got.
Well, it's up to him, isn't it? Ultimately, yeah. whether we're upset about it or not. Again, it's like the conversation about Fabinho's performance, and we're allowed to say, yeah, Klopp, we're not happy with the decision that the manager's making. But still be 100% happy with everything that the manager's doing at the football club.
It's like people say, oh, well, would you rather than get injured? Well, no, I've got no issue with Van Dijk sitting
I'd rather the perfect situation where we put a full-strength team out, they get it done in a canter. Man City get these weak draws and put full strength teams out.
Or half and half at least.
Yeah, but even so, you know, the odd, they put
Silva, Jesus, David Silva, Kyle Walker all playing yesterday. Yeah. So, but
we bemoan them getting these easy draws, but then they go out, they get beaten, and they go out and they put, barring maybe one or two, they put a full strength team out, they snot them everywhere, and they walk around the pitch. We don't do that in cup games. We put weakened teams out and end up in replays.
Yeah.
And that's on the manager. That's all. That is, you know, that's the manager and the players.
Again, the caveat is, Jürgen is going to come in. Whoever it is, there are people who are going to criticise him. Some will agree and some will criticise him. And it was because his players let him down. His big players. So every time he's getting a question about this in the next, he should be in the back of his head thinking, fucking hell, Dejan and Joel.
Dejan Lovren should be doing all the press on this
honestly,
one.
Like Joel, Matip and Lovren and Fabinho should be in the three going, so your manager's giving the FA Cup off? It's yes, Soz.
He should have just been by the side. He should have been by the side of the pitch with their like plane tickets and a shredder and just holding them over going, how are we doing? Oh, Dejan, sorry. Go on, right. You're playing in the replay. For being, misplaced pass, you're in the replay squad. Yeah, definitely. But
I get the feeling we're almost about to cut our noses off despite our faces a little bit.
The one thing that I will say about this is that I love people getting really wound up about things that I'm not super passionate about. So there's going to be loads of fume from Middle England on this.
Piers
Morgan had a right go.
Whenever people get really, truly wild about things, like when people get wild about flags and, you know, and borders and all that, all the kind of things, like, you know, and you know, there's plenty of things that I get wild. I do get wild about, but when it's things that I genuinely don't care that much about, I do love to see the reaction. So at least that should be batten down the hatches, Reds, because the reaction is going to be something else, because we've just basically took a big shit in the FA Cup.
The thing is though as well, we're going to get fined for this. Huddersfield were fined a couple of years ago.
It's all going to kick off. It's going to be fascinating. Anyway, listen, we're going to wrap that up because the FA Cup's dead and we've killed it. And Dejan Lovren has killed the FA Cup. Sorry. let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Make sure you subscribe to the redmentv.com. The fallout from this is going to continue. We'll be covering it doubtless over on the Redmen News YouTube channel. Gents, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. West Ham up next. The build-up show will be out later this week. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.